Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. Start of another week. We haven't got anything planned, really, for this episode. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Why would we need plans when we are coming off the bat and we're taking a look back at all of the mad Premier League action from the weekend?
Was it mad?
That's why we...
Was it mad?
Just remember, this is why we started doing a Monday episode. It's so we could look back and reflect on the talking points. Have you forgotten that you and I are serious and increasingly influential football pundits, right?
We are.
We're not sat here on a Monday morning, like, trying to... People don't tune in because they just want to know what we've got planned for the week ahead. They want to get our hot takes, hot red hot takes, on the big talking points. I'm talking about the VAR controversies, right?
Yeah,
the surprise results, some of the tactics that we've seen over the weekend, etc.
Well, I was going to say that we haven't been across to the tactics board.
Let's go to the tactics board. Now, I want to talk about a really interesting tactic. Should we leave a gap there so you can put in the tactics board?
Nah, fuck it.
All right, well, I want to go and to the tactics board and talk about a tactic that we talked about a long time ago, because it was something that I think I'm right in saying it was a very interesting South American tactic that we first saw unveiled in the 86 World Cup. And if people are real archivists of Top Flight Time Machine, they can go back and listen to our World Cup episodes from summer 2018. And it's a particular type of goal that the famous Argentinian team of that year that ended up winning the World Cup, they created it. And since then, you've seen it once in a while. It hasn't been used so much in recent years, but we saw a classic of the genre on Saturday. I'm talking, of course, about the cocaine goal. The cocaine goal was invented by Diego Maradona in 1986 when, playing against England in the World Cup quarterfinals, he received the ball in the centre circle. And like all great footballers do, his mind worked 1,000 miles per hour. There was 1,000 different decisions he had to make in a split second, right? And he thought, do I lay it off? Do I turn? Do I play it long? Do I play it short? Do I hold it? Or do I start running round the whole of the England team and their goalkeeper and score like that?
Leg it. Yeah.
Fucking watch this. I'm fucking bored of this. Watch this. Yeah. I'm going to fucking go around. Have a look at this. I'm going to run round every cunt and the keeper, and I'm going to fucking score a goal. How about that? And then he did it. And that is
and
a goal.
You're right.
It's fueled by cocaine. No one would have the audacity to even dream up a goal like that unless they were on cocaine. And
it came back, didn't it, at the weekend?
At the weekend, the lad's son from Tottenham, he did an even more cocaine-y goal than Diego Maradona when he invented it. He took the Maradona cocaine goal and he sort of built on it. He built on it into something so extreme, so alarming, so terrifying, but also so beautiful. I'd certainly never seen anything like it before, and I doubt I ever will again. He received the ball on the edge of his own area. What do we know about this bloke? Not much. We know he's Korean. We know he's quietly become one of the top sort of 10 players in the Premier League over the last 3 years.
He's incredibly useful, isn't he?
But he doesn't make a big song and dance about it. He just gets on with it, doesn't he? He doesn't get all the plaudits that your Harry Kanes or your Dele Allies get of this world. But some would say he's had an even bigger contribution. Anyway, perhaps he's sick of it, Andy. Perhaps he's sick of the fact that Harry Kane and Dele Alli and all the other showy ones get all the plaudits. And maybe he's thought before the game, fuck this, I'm going to bang a couple of fucking Hollywood lines of the iron filings off because that there's a new manager and I know that he likes big characters with personality and charisma. And one thing I know for sure is that taking cocaine is a surefire route to personality and charisma. So he's taken.
He's not just done the cocaine goal. He's mixed it with heroin into a speedball, yeah. And he's injected it into his own eye.
Hang on a minute. Are you talking about the way in which River Phoenix died?
Yeah.
Right.
But this is in a positive way.
He's done a River Phoenix. He's injected a speedball into his eyeball. Gone straight out onto pitch and giving it. Give me a ball. Give me a fucking ball. Give it me now. Give it me now. I'm clear.
He did.
And they've gone, all right, calm down. He did. And they've given it to him, and he's just turned. And he's, I've seen, if you watch closely, I've watched it and watched it again. And you can lip read him, and he goes like this. He looks up and he goes, watch this, motherfuckers. That's what he says as he receives the ball. He says that as he receives the ball. And then he accelerates like a fucking train, right? And what's particularly spectacular about it is that he doesn't dribble like Maradona did with his cocaine goal. He doesn't go in and out. He doesn't go round people.
He just goes straight for the jugular.
He runs in a straight line at such speed and power that no one can catch him. No one can catch him. He's just a runaway train. And then somehow, when he finally gets inexplicably into the opposition area, he manages to put the brakes on sufficiently to slot it home with a perfect finish. And to me, that is the ultimate cocaine goal. I think it's one of the best goals I've ever seen. And it was so good, Andy, that when I came in last night late, I'd been on the road, more of that later. I came in, I switched on Match of the Day. I didn't have big plans to watch it. I just needed to unwind for 5 minutes before going to bed. And that game was on. And I wasn't expecting the goal. But I had seen that Son was trending on Twitter, but I hadn't investigated why.
You didn't know why.
I thought, who knows what the cunt's done? He's capable of anything.
Fucking broke someone's leg the other week, didn't he?
Yeah. I thought that cunt's capable of fucking anything.
Yeah.
He might have, who knows? He might have fucking come out and, you know, he might have walked out onto the pitch and shat in fucking Sean Dyche's dugout.
Yeah. He's capable of anything.
There's a million reasons that he could be trending. But what he had done is he's got, but when I saw it, it was that good that I watched the replay a couple of times and I saw ultimate cocaine goal. And then I just switched telly off, mate. Because I thought, that's it.
It's not going to get any better,
is it? There's no point watching Match of the Day beyond that. The rest of the Match of the Day is ruined by that, possibly forever.
I mean, there was lots of decent football over the weekend, but the best match by far was Everton versus Chelsea, which was on yesterday lunchtime.
Yeah, I didn't see
it. On BT Sport. Duncan Ferguson
is
the interim manager of Everton, revived Everton in a similar style to when what's her name gets that injection of fucking adrenaline in Pulp Fiction.
In Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman. They whack that syringe into the chest. I think Eric Stoltz.
Straight into her chest.
Eric Stoltz whacks a syringe into her chest. And she sits up all alarmed. And that's what, that's it. He was Eric
Stoltz.
That's
what Ferguson did.
Duncan Ferguson was Eric Stoltz. And Everton are Uma Thurman. So who's John Travolta? I'll tell you who. Bill Kenwright. He's the cunt on the sidelines looking on.
Sure,
giving it. You got to fucking do something to help.
Oh, he's the showman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they scored after, I think it was about 4 minutes, and it was Richarlison that scored, and he scored with a fucking Duncan Ferguson goal. They sent a cross in from the right-hand side. Richarlison leapt above all of the defenders and just nutted it straight in the back of the net.
Fucking hell.
Ferguson's gone, right, lads, I want you to go out and play like me. And just score goals like I did.
Headers.
Just fucking go and do it.
I'll tell you what I want to see today, lads. Headers. And lots of them.
Yeah. Crosses. And headers.
Head.
90 minutes.
Head. 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 You see the ball. Head it. Even if it's not in the air, get down on your hands and knees. Head the fucker. Flick it
up. If you're nowhere near the ball.
Head it. Head it. Head it. Head it.
If you're nowhere near the ball, just imagine one and leap up and head it.
Head it.
Because it's good practice for when it comes to you.
ABH. No, not actual bodily harm, which I believe I was convicted of, but I'm not sure. No, I'm talking about always beheading. Always beheading. Head the fucking ball. You know what the problem with modern football is? You know what's gone wrong with this football club? Hey, not enough headers. Headers need to come back. If you just start heading the ball, you won't go wrong.
Ferguson really needs to just quit now and leave Everton and never go back, because it is never going to get better than that.
They did ask him afterwards, well, have you got an RR on the job? You've obviously thrown your hat in the ring after today's result. He went, well, you know. He should have just said, fuck that. That's me done. TTFN motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm only interested in heading. I've spoken to the manager, Bill Kenwright. I've spoken to the chairman, Bill Kenwright, the theatrical impresario. And I have also spoken to the other fella who seems to be putting the money into it, mate.
Whose name I don't remember.
And they have made it quite clear that they are looking for a coach who is interested in the full spectrum of footballing techniques. Passing, tackling, shooting, and so forth. That is not for me. I am a heading man. I have always been a heading man. I believe in headers, not football. Heading. Headball.
If anything else comes into play, it will be violence. But it's predominantly heading. A smattering of violence as well.
Occasionally, you do need to employ the footballing technique of violence. It's true. But on the whole, I prefer it if we can get by just with headers.
He was fucking great, though. Running up and down the touchline, hugging ball boys and stuff every time they scored.
He might have been on the old iron filings as well. It was a very cokey weekend all round.
Probably was. It was early Saturday morning, wasn't it? Yeah. So he probably had a long Friday night.
Yeah.
You've got.
I'm still rushing off my text from 3 days. You see?
Yeah, there you've got Frank Lampard sat there with a face like a dog licking piss off a nettle. Because he was so fucking dismayed by the whole thing. And his defence were a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was so good.
That
so enjoyable.
Was sweet, yeah. And but also, there's no way Lampard can handle a man like Ferguson.
No.
There was no boys like that at my school.
Yeah. It was very rough.
What a vulgar
He's a
man.
Scotchman.
What a Jody Morris. Morris. His butler. Morris. Morris, who's that ghastly oaf? An ape of a man in the Everton coaches area. Oh, yeah, boss. That's the caretaker manager. He looks like a caretaker. He speaks in the vulgar tongue of the Scotsman. Well,
Morris.
I think he is Scottish, to be honest. A Scotsman in charge of a football team? How absurd. Well, I've heard it all now.
Do you speak Scotch, Morris? Just that I need an interpreter when I go for a little drink after the game. I brought a lovely, lovely bottle of wine, which I hope you'll enjoy.
Now, he probably takes sherry, because his wine's a bit too strong for him. It tends to be dizzy. Yeah. Mother used to say it brought me out in a rash. I wasn't myself. I can't trust myself. A thimbleful of sherry is enough for me. I bring my own glass.
Just before bedtime, so that I don't get out of control. But, yeah, that was the best match of the weekend. Manchester City, Manchester United was quite amusing in places. That was worth watching. So did you not see any of the games?
Nah, I've been on the road, man. I haven't seen any football. I saw the highlights of Tottenham. And I saw a bit of Leicester today.
I haven't seen any of that yet.
I saw a bit of Leicester. And they are really good and look like they will probably be the only team to run Liverpool even slightly close. But, you know, fucking hell, we didn't see that, did we? I mean, there was a lot of people
saying,
I think Leicester might be there or thereabouts. Keep an eye on Leicester. I think they're quite a good team. You know, Tielemans, this Belgian guy, is a really top-class midfielder.
Yeah, fuck off. Anyway, it's turned out that they are good and they are going to probably finish second, I imagine.
To be fair, what is it now? Is it 4 years now since four seasons since they won the league? Has it been the third season since then?
Three champions since then. I think Chelsea won the following year, and then Man City won twice. So that's three.
So I mean, and they dropped right down, didn't they? They ended up having a couple of bad seasons afterwards. They didn't keep it up at all. So they've come again.
This is a new team. I mean, there's very, you know, if you look at the players who were there then and are still there now, you got Vardy and Schmeichel. Are the two main ones. Other than that, it's almost all completely new team.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the same keeper and the same centre forward. The weird thing is that the centre forward Vardy. I mean, he wasn't even particularly young when they won the league before.
Now he's 32 now.
He is playing as well now as he did in their title-winning season. He's retired from international football, so he's able to have a bit more rest than a lot of his contemporaries.
Just rest.
And unlike the other teams in that sort of top six, they're not distracted by Europe. And Liverpool will be soon. Liverpool are going to have to go off to all sorts of daft competitions, some sort of world competition or something.
Oh, they've got that, haven't they? Yeah, in a couple of weeks.
Fucking stupid. I'd be livid if I was Jurgen Klopp about that.
Yeah, they're playing each other on Boxing Day. Leicester-Liverpool on Boxing Day.
What a fucking Boxing Day it's going to be.
Massive, yeah. Well, I'll be at Sunderland's match, whatever that is. I don't know the fuck we've got, but we're at home.
I never go to football on Boxing Day.
We lost, Sunderland lost again at the weekend at Gillingham, right at the death, 1-0. That's 2 wins in 12 now for our completely inept new manager.
Do you think that, I mean, when a club changes manager more than once in a season, it's a fucking, you're really in a crisis situation, but I know you want it to happen. Will it happen?
I don't think it will because of the chairman's pride and also for the fact that he's got a 2.5-year contract to pay off for Phil Parkinson,
fucking
which we haven't got the money to pay that off. So, no.
Disaster,
I don't know what's
mate.
Happen.
You're staying down then.
Probably, yeah. It's relegation form at the minute.
Yeah. But, West Ham playing tomorrow night against Arsenal in what looks like a relegation 6-pointer. And a couple of weeks ago, I was like to the Arsenal fans who was, you know, I said, listen, you will definitely get 3 points against us, so I wouldn't worry, at least getting 3 points. Mm. Since then, although West Ham had a blip against, well, you know, a reverse blip against Chelsea and played well, we were back to business as usual on Wednesday
against
Wolves. And we're shit again. But Arsenal really do look shit, so it'll be interesting tomorrow what happens. I don't know if there's a sort of a game where both teams can lose, but if there is, it's this one.
Well, I predicted 1-1 for it, and you predicted a 1-0 West Ham win, so we'll see.
Yeah.
One of us might be right, but over the weekend, the other matches, you managed to get 1 point, Sam.
Fucking hell.
Just segueing briefly into the prediction league, I got 4 points, because I managed to get Brighton 2, Wolves 2. And ResultsBot got 4 as well. ResultsBot predicted that Gillingham will beat Sunderland 1-0.
So, where does that leave everyone then?
You're on 82, I'm on 80, and ResultsBot's on 69. So we're going at the Christmas period and it's all to play for.
I went up to Birmingham yesterday and it was to visit my niece who is at the university up there, and I took my daughter up to visit her. And what one of the main reasons I agreed to do it was that I worked out a route that took in Beaconsfield services, which is, in my opinion, the best services, certainly in the south. But what made the day so special, I texted my mate, associate of the show, Big Mark, the producer.
Yeah.
And he actually lives near these services. And there's a huge Wetherspoons there, as well as a Nando's, a McDonald's, a Pizza Express. It's perfect for our meetings.
Was this the first one that opened a Wetherspoons in it?
I don't know.
A while ago.
He lives in there, and he said that he knows people, and I think he's one of them, who just go to these services on a Friday night because it's that
good.
For
a night out.
And he has said if he ever gets married, he wants his stag there. A stag at a services. It's got everything. It's got a huge Pizza Express. It's got a Nando's. It's got a Greggs. It's got a McDonald's. It's got a Smith's, obviously. It's got various other food outlets that I haven't heard of before. But then it's got an Ibis, right, hotel. So it's
sexy.
Right up our street. And it's got some rentable meeting rooms above the food court, right?
Really?
That I think are those Regus. Are they called Regus or something?
Yeah.
Like that business centre. Yeah. So you can rent one of those. Then there's a Wetherspoons for when you want a big Wetherspoons when you want to really like get a few drinks down, yeah, and then you just keep in the Ibis. So it's got, I mean, and the thing is, it's busy-ish, but it's not like when you're going into a town centre on a Friday or Saturday night. There's no big queues, right?
You could do a long weekend there, couldn't you?
Easily.
A mini break. Yeah.
Yesterday, this is what's special about yesterday, I did breakfast and dinner at Beaconsfield Services. On the way...
When you said dinner there, do you mean what Northerners would call
southern
tea?
I mean dinner, tea. Yeah, what you'd call tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Southern dinner.
Yeah.
And I got there on the way there. We stopped and we had McDonald's, right? Breakfast. And
strong.
A coffee, right? Then I went up to Birmingham, spent the day in Birmingham doing a bit of shopping and that. On the way back, we were running quite late because there was a bit of traffic. So I said, fuck this. We're not going to wait till we get home for dinner. We're going to stop again at Beaconsfield.
We'll go back for more.
And we had a fucking Nando's there. And it's fucking one of the best Nando's I've been to as well. It's really nice. So we had, so imagine that, the same services, your favourite services. I can't remember what your favourite is. You have told me before. But your favourite services twice in one day.
Jesus
Absolute
Christ.
Dream day, mate.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jalapeño.
So did you? So hang on, you engineered this trip to Birmingham, did you say?
Yes.
So that you could visit these services on the way.
Yes,
and then on the way back.
I hadn't. I had half an idea that I might try and do it on the way back, but I was like, "This is crazy thinking now, Delaney." I mean, you know me, right? I like a big audacious plan. You know, I dream big, Andy.
I'm looking at a map to try and work out how this works.
I dream big, don't I? Right,
you do,
and sometimes, I, you know, I've flown too close to the sun, haven't I? Because
like Icarus,
my dreams have led me into dangerous places at times, but I never stopped dreaming. And I'll admit, I did dream in the week when I was planning my trip to Birmingham that I could possibly do it, whereby I went for breakfast at Beaconsfield on the way there and dinner on the way back.
Dinner on the way back,
but I never committed. I never mentioned it to my daughter about dinner on the way back. Then I fucking saw it on the horizon. I pulled in. I did that. It's a classic dad move, this. This is one of the best things any dad can do. And we've all done it. Apart from if you're listening and you're an awful absentee or dysfunctional father. In which case you probably haven't. Hi, Dad. But... right, no, he's all right, my dad. But anyway, but he never did this. It's when you're driving somewhere and there's a treat place and you don't fucking mention it. You just pull in.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling, isn't it? And they go, and it takes them a while to register what the fuck's going on. And they go, And you go, that's right, dickheads. I've pulled back into Beaconsfield. By this stage, I had my niece as well, right?
Right.
Because we'd met her in Birmingham.
It was a rescue mission.
We'd brought her back. Yeah, it was a bit of a rescue mission. Right. We brought her back. And I pulled in, and they're going, what? Shut it. We're going to fucking Nando's for tea. We're going back in for Nando's. And it was like this. Yes! Yes! Fucking great, mate. The rush of acceleration. I felt like Son when he scored his cocaine goal.
I had a similar thing once, years and years ago, when I was still married, and we were going to take the kids to Disneyland Paris. And we had it all booked. It was a four-day trip. But we didn't tell them.
Oh,
we didn't tell them we were going to Disneyland Paris.
That is fucking amazing.
So we set off. We said we were going to go to Alton Towers for two nights.
Oh, my God.
Right? So we set off, and we're on our way to the airport, and I had to pull over in a lay-by close to the airport to say, look, kids, got something to confess to you. We're not going to Alton Towers.
Oh.
We're going to Disneyland Paris.
Oh, you can't.
And they went. They both went, oh.
No.
We were looking forward to going to Alton Towers.
The bastards.
I'm like, you what? You fucking what?
Fucking hell. Well, you learned a lesson there, mate.
I've learned a lesson about your kids.
You know
there.
What? There is a lesson to be learned. Tell them, what you'd done is you told them you were doing something that was objectively a really good thing, Alton Towers.
Yeah,
so of course they're going to get excited.
I went too close to the target destination, didn't I?
Kids, we've got to get up early because your mum and me, we've not been getting on recently and we're getting a divorce. And the way it works is we've got to go to the divorce court first thing in the morning and you've got to be there. And that's how divorces work. You've both got to sign something with your own blood.
You've got to watch it happen.
You got what? And we have it out. We have a big argument in court in front of a really intimidating judge. One of those judges.
Airing of grievances
with
in front of a judge.
A big wig. And then at the end, to make the divorce official, someone, quite a sinister person, in black robes comes in and he pricks your fingers and draws blood. And then you have to sign divorce documents in blood. And they go, oh, no, Dad, no. Well, I'm sorry, but I think it's for the best for everyone that we do this divorce ceremony tomorrow morning. And then they're crying, sobbing. And then suddenly they pull in, they go, oh, is this the divorce court, Dad? And you go, no, it's the airport, kids. We're actually going to Euro. We're not getting divorced. We're going to Euro Disney. Woo! Mickey Mouse, here we come, you bastard.
And they're all like, this is too much to handle.
Why did you do that? I'm traumatised. Shut up.
Yeah. No, I think what I should have done was somewhere in between that and Alton Towers. Perhaps maybe some, I don't know, bark rubbing or something.
Yeah, or just say you're going shopping. Say, we've got to buy a new heater for the upstairs room, fan heater from Argos. But we've got to go to Newcastle Argos because the one in Sunderland's out of stock.
But why have we got a pack of suitcases, Dad? Told you, Newcastle. Anything would happen.
Yeah,
we might
get
stranded.
There. We might get identified as Macums and put in somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's what happened. Disneyland wasn't good enough for them.
Fucking hell. But did you have a good time in Disneyland anyway?
Nah, it was shit. It was like March or something. It was fucking freezing.
Yeah. I went to Euro Disney once. It was all right. But I won't go back.
I've done Florida since then. And what I'll say to anyone, if you're going to do Euro Disney,
you might as well
stop yourself and just save up a bit more and do Florida.
Yeah.
Because fuck me, there's a world of difference between the two of them.
They're very well organised, the Americans, and they're very eager to please. Whereas the French,
you know what?
The French are not eager to please.
They're not. No, the French want you dead.
Mm.
But I mean, you know how cynical I am, don't you?
Yeah,
about cheeriness and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Florida is my happy place on planet Earth.
Really?
All of that stuff, all of that have a nice day shit.
Yeah.
And all that bending over backwards to help you. Yeah. I fucking cannot get enough of it.
I love it too. Yeah. I love America. And you know what? I take it all at face value. Like, people go there and they go, oh, they're so phony Americans, they're only doing it for tips.
No,
and
I don't think it is.
I don't give a fuck, actually, whether that's true. But actually, I don't think it's true. I think they're just nice.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some of it comes from a slight dim-wittedness. I don't know, and I don't care. Mm. I think the American people, on the whole, you've got to take people as you find them. And when you're in America, everyone's kind to you.
Yeah. You don't want to get into deep conversations because it might turn out they're horrible racists.
Yeah, and they might have a gun and shoot you dead. You don't know. So keep things superficial is my advice, you know. And if you'll have a great time.
Where we stayed last time in Florida, we were in a, it was a DoubleTree hotel, which was quite nice. And then across the road, there was a petrol station that had a general store where you could buy everything you needed sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then just around the corner, there was a Subway, so you could buy sandwiches and all that. And then next door to the Subway, there was a sports bar, and it had a sign on the door, no concealed weaponry.
Oh, my God.
I just thought, I like the Subway, and I like the store, but I'm not so keen on the sports bar. That's the bit of
America
I don't really want to get involved in.
Even though it was saying we don't accept firearms, the fact that that was even necessary would put me off. The fact that there was a chance that someone may have a concealed weapon or that they had incidents in the past with concealed weapons. And
if
also, what's their
weapon.
Policy on unconcealed weapons? Like, you know, if you've got two guns strapped to your chest.
No, don't know. Didn't say that was the thing. I think unconcealed weapons were fine. If you've got a gun, stick it on the bar when you sit down.
Yeah, or
just
if you've
don't
got
hide
those,
it away.
You know those really awesome, like, straps of grenades that you wear in a cross, two grenade belts?
Yeah.
You walk in like that, and they go, howdy doody, what would you have? I'll have a gin and a bit of lemon, please.
so two sides of America there. Anything else we're going to talk about in this episode?
It felt
like a bit of a subdued one. I'm not in the mood, to be quite honest.
Not in the mood for podcasting.
I'm going to be blunt. I'm not in the mood. I'm not feeling it. But, you know, there you go. They can't
all
be winners.
Sometimes those Sundays can fall upon you. And
yeah, because we are recording this on Sunday evening, as we usually do.
I know. Yeah. There's one thing that I will raise that I want to discuss, but we don't have to go right into it now. It is a character that I've become aware of. Everyone might know this. And he is... Hang on. I've got to find out. I've forgotten the cunt's name. He is in European countries, continental European countries. There is a character who is like the opposite of Santa. He is Santa's nemesis. And he is supposed to... he is supposed to visit the kids who have been naughty. So the idea, that Santa only visits you if you're good, great. But then you think, where's the jeopardy? The jeopardy is, if you're bad, you are visited by a character called Krampus. And let me tell you, you used the word cunt there, and never have you used it so appropriately, because this bloke is a fucking thunder cunt, if ever there was one, right? Krampus. I'll just read you a bit of his Wikipedia entry. In Central European folklore, Krampus is a horned, anthropomorphic figure described as half goat, half demon, who during the Christmas season punishes children who have misbehaved.
Fucking hell!
This contrasts with St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, who rewards well-behaved with gifts. Krampus is one of the companions of St. Nicholas in several regions, including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, and Slovakia and Slovenia.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he fucking gets about. The origin of the figure is unclear. Some folklorists and anthropologists have postulated it as having pre-Christian origins. In traditional parades and in such events as the Krampuslauf, right, which is the Krampus run, right, young men dressed as Krampus participate. Such events occur annually in most Alpine towns. Krampus is featured on holiday greeting cards called Krampuskarten. So I looked into this, and I looked on YouTube at some of the Krampuslaufs that take place at Christmas in many Alpine towns, and they are fucking terrifying, right? This bloke, you know when you just get a glimpse in Rosemary's Baby, you get a glimpse of the sort of demonic figure, supposed to be Satan, that is having it off with Mia Farrow when she's asleep. And it is reminiscent of him. He's also reminiscent of that big sort of rabbit bloke in Donnie Darko,
yeah.
What do you think of Donnie Darko? I think it's a shit film.
Yeah, I was really overrated. Yeah.
It's the most pretentious load of old fucking shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I've seen more pretentious shit, but it's that
worse.
There's worse. Yeah. Anyway, so it's a bit like that cunt. He's terrifying. He's got horns. He's all hairy, but he's man-like too. So he's not on all fours. He can run. He's upright. And they just fucking... They all dress up as him. And they just fucking charge around in German towns, Bavarian towns, all this. They just fucking charge about, dressed up as this fucking nutter, right? Santa Claus is often there as well, but he just stands there. Like, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't try to battle him, which is what you would hope. Yeah. He just lets him get on with frightening the kids. And I said, if I was fucking there, if I turned up, I've often thought, oh, it'd be nice to take the kids to a Bavarian town or village in the build-up to Christmas, to go to a really, really authentic Christmas market in one of those sorts of places. Yeah. And but I'd never heard of Krampus until Friday morning.
I'm vaguely aware of it, but I wasn't really sure what it was. But, I mean, if we had it here, I could have deployed Krampus in the car in the lay-by that day and said, you know, when they kicked off about not going to Walton Towers, I could have said, right, I'm ringing Krampus.
I will tell you this much, right? If Krampus is listening, right, or if anyone listening knows Krampus, then give him a message from me. If he fucking turns up here, if he starts thinking that he can fucking move in here onto our island, right, he's terrorised Europe, the children of Europe, for what sounds like hundreds of years, right?
Mm.
He's never touched England because we are an island and the cunt probably can't even swim, right? If he fucking thinks he's going to come over here and start harassing us, then I will fucking spark the cunt out the moment I fucking set eyes on him. Is a promise from me to Krampus.
Just from you, not from Top Flight Time Machine. Specifically from you, Sandalini.
I don't want to say anything about you. You seem quite keen on the idea of Krampus because you want to use him. You want to weaponise him as a tool of fear against your children.
I think it's inevitable he's going to come. We've already got, you know, we've got Halloween has been commercialised. Mm. We've got... fucking Thanksgiving and Black Friday. That's come from America. We've got Christmas markets everywhere that have come over
fucking
from Europe.
Hell, yeah. Well, Christmas markets feel like his natural... Christmas markets feel like Krampus's... If you look up pictures of him and videos, and I've done a lot
I'm
of
looking
research,
now.
Christmas markets seem like his natural habitat. And,
I'm looking now.
And I would keep a fucking sharp eye out. I was at the Christmas market in Birmingham yesterday. A lot of towns now have huge ones, don't they? And I would just say, keep your eyes peeled for this cunt, because he could be jumping out from behind a mulled wine stall
exactly.
at any
well,
moment.
It says here, it's customary to offer Krampus some schnapps.
Fuck off, he's not getting fucking yeah. anything from me. The last thing we want is that bloke pissed up. He's fucking mad enough as it is.
Fucking
and the last thing you want to see is Krampus on the iron filings. Fucking hell. So it's a worry.
In Italy, an annual Krampus festival is held in early December. Just before the sun sets, the Krampus come out from an old cave and chase children, punishing them with strokes on the legs.
Ah!
And that's like with a, you know, with a weapon.
Oh, nonce. Sounds a bit
to
Prince
Andrew-ish.
To satisfy
their anger, children and young people must recite a prayer.
No.
North American Krampus celebrations are a growing phenomenon.
There
it's
you go.
Happening.
It's
going to happen eventually.
Happening. But I'm saying, you fucking come here, you start stroking my kids' legs, right?
You're
and I will ass. Fucking put you on your ass, right? I will take you out of commission. One punch. Bang. One
yeah.
punch, Delaney. You're out of the game. Krampus
gone.
Krampus has been fucking cancelled.
Krampus has been fucking neutralised.
But let me tell you something else, right? If Santa's listening to this... Right?
Yeah.
Santa, you're the cunt who should have dealt with this so it
yeah,
didn't fall to
game,
me.
Dickhead.
Muggins, Delaney,
yeah,
having to clear
exactly.
up your fucking mess as usual, right? You should have fucking sparked the cunt out or use whatever magical Santa powers you've got. Like, I assume yeah. you can shoot fucking lasers out your fingers like the Emperor, something like that. He has been taking the piss for years, scaring children, stroking children's legs, making them say prayers. You're the anti-Krampus. Deal with it yourself, or I'm going to fucking deal with it. And
wouldn't
when I deal with it,
me.
It's going to be horrible.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if Santa and Krampus are in cahoots, to be totally honest.
Well, you've got
it's
to
a little bit
ask
convenient,
yourself,
isn't it?
Yeah, because I yeah. think that every hero requires an anti-hero. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? So,
yeah, I guess
brand
so.
Santa doesn't really work as well without a Krampus.
Without Krampus. Mm.
That's the
well,
way
brand
that...
Santa's worked fine for us for... over 40 years
no,
and we've just become aware of
this
Krampus.
This is what Santa's advisors will be telling him, you know, his fucking marketing people and his brand yeah. experts. Well, to be honest, I mean, I've been operational in the UK for about 150 years since Victorian times, right? And I've never funny thing about the Brits is they've never had Krampus. They won't have him, right? It's just one of their things. They're intolerant of demons, demonic figures. They don't like it. And I've got along fine on the whole. I've got along fine in the UK. And they were like, no, yeah. Santa, honestly, we need to expand Krampus's operational areas into the UK and all areas of Northern Europe. I'm telling you, they're not going to fucking stand for it.
And there's one bloke there. He's ready for him. I've heard his podcast. So, you know, think on.
I'll put Krampus in the newsletter, which is running about
yeah.
a week late. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, that's it from this one. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got some mailbag stuff, haven't we? And some tweets and stuff. So if you want to send stuff in today, you've got a good chance of getting in, because a lot of it's been shite.
Oh, yeah. And listen, right? If you have ever encountered Krampus personally and
oh,
had
yeah.
dealings with him, you got up close, you've seen him in action...
Yeah.
Tell us your stories. Email them to us.
Add that to the list of stuff for our Christmas
yeah,
mailbag
if you
special.
Want stuff on the mailbag show, then it's always better to email rather than tweet it at toplighttimemachine@gmail.com, because then we'll just save it into our mailbag folder, whereas tweets often get lost in the blizzard of madness and hatred.
Too fiddly, aren't they,
they're,
to deal with?
There's and Twitter is not a place... In the build-up to an election... Twitter is not a place that we like to spend too much time.
Anyone wants to be.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. All right, and thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow.
TTFN,
cheers,
dickheads.
TTFN. Just rest.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.